Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. We got a May 11th, and we still on the scene with a coaching lean. Woo, woo. But anyway, this is your boy, Coach Lee, and you're in Four Quarters with Coach Lee, and we're going to have a great show lined up tonight. But, you know, we got to get this thing started with our commercial break before we start the first quarter. So hold on. Here we go. And it is on. My Adidas right there, my Adidas. Well, we have a little technical difficulty, but I can handle that. You know, coach always do that. But anyway, we're going to rewind.
Your car's here.
Go get him, Tiger.
When you're hitting the road for business,
good luck.
Enterprise will pick you up and get you on the road to success. Pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
Oh, yeah, that's Enterprise. Know why? Because we will pick you up. So there we go, and we are off. And we are off and rolling Four Quarters with Coach Lee. You know, we had a little situation at the beginning. It had a little mix going on. So I'm loving that mix, BJ. You know what I'm saying? You can DJ my party anytime, especially if we win the championship this year. You can come and DJ my party. All right? But anyway, we're going to kick this first quarter off with a hot topic. We got a hot topic going on over on the Ning board. That's Women's Tackle Football Group. Ning.com. For the first quarter, we're going to talk about playoffs. Yes, folks, playoffs. The season is halfway here, and we just had an opportunity to talk about playoffs because, you know, when you play 8 games a season, every game is like a playoff game because, you know, once you lose one game, you're in the back seat. in order to sustain a spot in the playoffs. So you got to pretty much go undefeated. And as a coach, you know, that's a lot of pressure on us as coaches to make sure that we get our team together, we mish and mash and do all the good things to become a team. And, you know, when you get that first loss early in the season, it really hurts and you really got to focus in. There's been a couple of teams that have surprisingly lost this year. The California Quake has lost three games this year. Actually, I want to say four games. Yeah, four games this year. You got Detroit. I think they lost two so far. What other good team out there that has already taken a loss? I mean, you got the Pittsburgh Passion that has taken a loss. In the WFA, you got the Houston Cyclones have taken a couple of losses here that could be out the playoffs. But it was some great talking and dialogue this week about playoffs. And so once I get to this point here of some of the topics that we had on the playoffs, we actually had the topic was why haven't the teams or leagues changed their format? Because here we are in week four, and there's already teams that are out of the playoffs. And, you know, like I told you earlier, as a coach, every game is a playoff at this point in time, especially when you only have eight games. And, you know, going 7-1, you might make the playoffs. But, you know, the topic really was for a new league, supposedly looking to do things right this time around, the WFA really blew it with their whole playoff picture. I'm imagining that this person here, Gingerbread, here's her name on the Women's Tackle Football Group.neen.com board, is trying to explain that the league just did it all wrong. And basically WFA just put up their playoff format. And you couldn't come up with any worse situation, as she's been told. Or is that she's saying, or more boneheaded plan. You know, you got eight teams are geographically based with absolutely no consideration for which teams are the most deserving. You know, the definition of deserving is what? You got to win, baby. You got to win. You don't just get in because you're in a tough league. You know, I look at New England Patriots last year and the year before. Heck, they went 19-1 or 18-1. I forgot. And then they come back and run and go 11-5 and didn't make the playoff. Why? Because their division was competitive. And then you have what? The Cardinals, who backed into the playoffs and went 9-7 and wind up in the Super Bowl. So, you know, you got to win in your backyard. You can't just say I'm top ranked and, you know, because I came in second or third place in my league that I deserve to be in the playoffs. No, that's not how life works. You know, life works like this. If you win games and you don't lose any, you're pretty sure to make the playoffs. If you lose a game, hey, you're jeopardizing your chance to make the playoffs. Don't matter where you come from, no matter where you're at, you know, you got to do what you got to do on the field. You know, you can't dictate how the playoffs should be ran this year because there's two teams that are strong in this league that weren't strong last year, and then one team fell off the bandwagon and is not as good this year, but the league sucks, and they're making the playoffs. You know, that's just how the cookie crumbles. That is how the cookie crumbles. And, you know, you just got to be able to take your cookies and milk and drink it all at the same time and say, hey, you know what, we did the best that we could, but we didn't make the playoffs. That's what the Patriots did last year, 11-5, and didn't make the playoffs. You know, and a team that's 9-7 wins the division. So, again, it's not about setting it up that the best team make the playoffs. It's never an opportunity. I'm never a chance that the best top 16 teams, 8 teams, 12 teams, however you name it, make the playoffs. You got a lot of 8-8 teams that make the playoffs in the NFL. But what you do have is parity. What you do have is opportunity to play a lot more games to mix and gel. With women's football, we don't have that opportunity with only 8 games. So I can understand what Cornbread is trying to say. But, you know, I got Coach Bartley trying to call me. I don't know if he's trying to call in. Coach, I'm on the line, baby. I'm doing the show. Yeah, I'm on the show, baby. You got to go. I got to let you go. Okay, I hit you. Yeah, again, Coach Bartley's calling me, want to get in on what's going on, what's happening. So, you know, the bottom line is this, as coaches, we got to prepare, get ready for the games, and you know what, we deal with what we dealt with. But talking a little bit more about the subject, you know, I try to chime in and let Gingerbread know that, hey, there's nothing wrong with being the regional best and going to the playoffs. Even in the league, the NFL, teams are good and make the playoffs. Teams that are bad make the playoffs. And there's some good teams that don't make the playoffs, like I spoke earlier. But you can't blame the league or the league for teams dropping out with 2 weeks before the league starts, you know, once you set your format up. You know, and then again, you know, gingerbread. I keep on saying cornbread. I must be hungry. It's that dinner time here on the West Coast. You know, she's saying, come on, Coach Lee. You're probably one of the smartest ones on this board out of everyone. You should be leading the charge to get it right. Well, you know what? When you play football all your life and you've been told that the top team goes to the playoff automatically and you're hoping to be a wild card, you still have obstacles to go through. It can be tiebreakers. I'll give you a good example. Last year, we were in the IWFL. You know, did I feel that we were the second-best team here on the West Coast or third-best team? I would say, yeah. You had Seattle. You had California Quake, undefeated, both teams. And we felt that we were the next best team, but we wound up having a tiebreaker with the Portland team, and they beat us because they gave up less points than we did, even though we played the Quake and we lost by a total of 6 points, but we gave up, what, 30 points the first game. We lost 30 to 27, and we lost the second game against the Quake, 41 and 38. So the tiebreaker was points given up, you know, and the other team didn't score that many points or had that many points scored against them. So, again, you know, you just deal with it, you know. But, again, you know, people are trying to inquire about what's the best pitcher. If it was that easy, then everybody would be doing it. I mean, you know, people don't realize that the NFL even consolidated. If you look at the realignment of the leagues, what are they? They're regional leagues. They're regional divisions. They're regional conferences now. Why? Because they're trying to cut down the cost. And I think part of the Gingerbread Chick's argument was it should be national. You should be able to go anywhere, in any place. But like I told her, or like I made comment on here, you know, there's not any, if not one, millionaire owner that owns a women's football team. And I might be wrong from what I was told. There is a millionaire owner of a team out there, but who just doesn't hype it up that they are millionaires. But you know what? The reality is 99.99% of us have issues with traveling. And the leagues do their best to try to pair teams up regionally to keep costs down. And that's just the reality of the whole situation, you know. I have nothing against any team, any league, or any way that it's been structured. The structure that I've seen in my 38 years of existence, that's what I've seen. So I don't think anybody got it wrong. Is there a better way? There's always a better way, you know. Ask college football. They want a playoff, but they're not getting it. You know, Division II, Division III have a national playoff. But how come Division I don't? Because they don't want to lose money on the bowl revenue. Then you got the BCS. And it's always somebody getting shafted at the BCS. It hasn't been a clear cut number one and two. Well, let me stop. USC and Texas was the only clear cut one and two national championship game. Outside of that, there's always been an argument. Heck, you got USC and Oklahoma play for national championship, and you have undefeated Auburn, who USC beat earlier that year, that didn't make the national championship. So they had an argument of why they weren't in the national championship game. So you're not going to satisfy anybody. If you only have 8 teams make the playoffs, number 9 and 10 teams going to complain. If you have 12 teams, number 13 and 14 teams going to complain. If you got 24 teams, 64 teams, it don't matter, yo. Hey, people are going to complain. People are going to sit there and feel that they got shafted and they should have been in there. So, you know, hey, we are rocking and rolling in the first quarter. I know the topic went by pretty fast, but I just had to enlighten you on some of the things that are going on the Women's Tackle Football Group.meme.com board. And we're going to end this quarter with that. We're going to go to a commercial break, and then I got a special guest that I will introduce as soon as we get through the commercials. And here we go.
Over people gave and the poor got paid. And I was a speaker, I did speak. I wore my speaker.
Oh, yeah. National sponsor, Adidas. You know what I'm saying? You got to get out there and support. Adidas is willing to put their money behind women's football. Women's football fans and players got to put your money behind the product. Again, national sponsor, Adidas. And we'll move on to our next national sponsor, Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
John, your car is here.
Go get him, Tiger.
When you're hitting the road for business,
good luck.
Enterprise will pick you up and get you on the road to success. Pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
Pick Enterprise. Why? Because they will pick you up. And as you know, I'm here to pick you up. I'm here to put on the show for you. This is Four Quarters with Coach Lee. At any given time, you can always call in at area code 347-826-7278. Or you can join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/WFB Talk Continues. That's where we at. That's where we beat. Now we're moving on into quarter number two. Come on, y'all. Here we go. All right. I got a special guest for you guys out there tonight. I got somebody who's been in football for quite a bit of time. I'm not going to date him, but what we're going to say is he's doing some wonderful things in football. You know, my next guest is on here, and we might even go two quarters with him. We might hit a commercial break in between, but I think we're going to go two quarters with my next guest. My next guest is Rudy Weiland. He is the executive director and head coach of the Team USA and publisher of Minor League Football News. He has been named as the Man of the Year in 2009 by National Football Events. Mr. Weiland has also organized 19 Team USA football games internationally, with Great Britain, Australia, Italy, France, Germany, Norway, Mexico, the Czech Republic, and Canada. And as head of the Minor League Football News, Mr. Wiley promotes minor league football within the top 50 rankings here in the United States. He also is involved with the Hall of Fame and the All-American Awards, and is instrumental in selecting a consensus national championship for minor league football teams. Coach, are you there?
I am there. Thank you very much, Coach.
Oh, I am so happy, man, that you are on the line, because you're at 14 hours ahead of me.
I'm actually, it's a pleasure being here. I'm actually 15 hours ahead of you right now here in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Wow. Like I told you guys, Coach Lee is worldwide, yo. I'm worldwide, we worldwide, and women's football is worldwide. But, you know, let's get into this real quick, this interview we got here. You know, what is your prior experience in football? And give us a little history of your playing days.
Coach, I played for John Chura there in Las Vegas at Chaparral High School back in the 1970s. And then I was a walk-on athlete at Idaho State University, Pocatello, Idaho. Then I transferred back to UNLV and played, had a redshirt year under Coach Harvey Hyde, and then played for Coach Wayne Nunley. I had
this is a small world. Did you say Harvey Hyde?
Yes, I did.
We had Harvey Hyde on here 2 weekends ago, and he was actually one of my coaches at Cal State University of Long Beach under the direction of George Allen. This is a small football world, isn't it?
You know, I ran into Coach Farrell just a few weeks ago in Las Vegas. He was the offensive coordinator under Coach Hyde. Just great to see him. He's been inducted into the Minor League Football Hall of Fame as well.
Wow, yes, definitely that. And you know, speaking of minor league football news, let's talk about your involvement with football here in the United States, since you're out in Malaysia, am I right? But you got the league football news?
That's right.
What is the minor league football news?
Well, minor league football news is it's an online newspaper that's specifically dedicated to bringing readers news about minor league football, adult amateur football from around the country. We promote news for the Arena Football League, for the Women's Football League, and news from Europe and the international scene.
How long has it been around?
The organization started as a print publication back in 1983. With the advent of the online capability, we went online in 1998, I believe, and started bringing news in electronic version.
Okay, yes, definitely. That. So I'm pretty sure it's a lot easier to do the electronic version than to print up all these things and then mail them out. So it's not too cost-effective back in the old days.
Not a bit. And you know, the original founder used to just mimeograph those things and send them out via first-class mail. And, you know, sometimes the print quality wasn't great, and, you know, the expensive postage and that type of thing was really excessive. So distribution is really inexpensive online.
Yes, definitely that. And with that, I mean, how many teams do you actually deal with in that report to the MLFN?
Well, the seasons are actually split between winter spring leagues and summer fall teams. In the winter spring, that runs from about January to mid June, there are about 300 teams across the nation that report to us. In the other season, summer fall, that runs from June till about the end of November, there's another 500 teams. So all in all, there's something like 800 teams, about 24 separate leagues that report to us. Involves over 20,000 football athletes and coaches from across the country.
Wow, that sounds like a great publication, and you know, I definitely have checked into it and tapped into it, and I definitely want to get all the women football teams out there involved in this, because like you said, you got 20,000 football players and coaches and athletes that are part of this networking system. And you know, in order for us to step our game up as women football players, coaches and owners, we need a network. And when you have minor league teams out there already, we could be networking and being our brother-sister team type of situation. Am I right?
Absolutely. I think that there are some valuable resources to be tapped into. Just through publication of this information online, people who do web searches and trying to look for adult amateur football, minor league football, they end up getting in contact with us just to offer support. Sometimes that support comes from really valuable sources. And with respect to the partnership between men's football and women's football, I think it's a natural. There's a lot of synergy there. I think women's football is breaking ground that we haven't even really considered. And in terms of the men's football, you know, that wheel was invented many, many years ago, and I think we have a lot to share with women's football as well. It's a great great partnership, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I was, you know, when I met up with you at the Casino Bowl, and you know, we talked a long time out there, and we talked about the men's game and the women's game, and how much the women's game has grown over the last 10 years, and it's just a natural partnership to come along and work with each other. I mean, here in Vegas, we have, 13 semi-pro men's teams here, and, you know, that work out, and we all practice on the same field, and, you know, they come over and help us out on some techniques and some other things, and my ladies go over and watch them practice or watch them play the games, because you're only a good student if you're able to get out there and learn. So I see it as a great thing here for football, period, and the minor league football news is definitely something that we as women football coaches and owners and players need to really tap into here in the near future. But with that, again, you said you got over 800 teams or close to 800 teams, and then your newsletter is in charge of ranking these teams. How do you go about ranking that many teams and actually crowning a national championship?
Well, we have a system that emulates the BCS system. So what we do is we have a computer model that ranks all the teams based on what league they come from, how competitive the league is on a national level, what their strength of schedule is, how they performed against other ranked teams. It's a pretty complicated formula. I read a lot about the BCS and talked to a lot of consultants about how to get this done. But we have a computer ranking model now that is pretty accurate. There's a lot of completeness and accuracy in that system. So we rank those teams. We actually rank every single team in the country, but we publish only the top 50 in each season. At the end of the year, it's our intention to get the number one and number two team on the field together to bang heads and try to figure out who the consensus national champion is going to be. So it's very, very much like the BCS system.
Okay. Yeah, because actually that was pretty much what sparked off some of the topic that we started off here in the first quarter with women's football, being that there's two major leagues out there. We got close to 100 teams. I'll say about 80 to 85 teams. But, you know, there's some complaining about playoff system, dealing with regional playoffs and then getting a national game, championship game, and you don't have the best two teams in the national championship game. I think I've been a part of women's football for 5 years, and I've seen heard of two great championship games. I was part of one with the Dallas Diamonds and the Houston Energy in 2006. Yeah, and then the Houston Energy and SoCal Scorpions in 2007 of the old WPFL, and then last year it was the Dallas Diamonds and the Chicago Force that played a great game. But outside of that, it's been like lopsided scores, like 50-0, 65-10. You know, just not getting the best teams in the championship game. And I guess that's what the BCS is all about, is trying to get those best teams together.
Well, I think if you really follow what's going on within the BCS, there's really not going to be in the future, in the foreseeable future, a Division I playoff system. BCS really believes in their system. They think it's going to work. The reason they go to the BCS system rather than a playoff system is very, very different than why we do it. At the minor league and adult amateur football level, it's just not feasible for us to put a playoff system together nationally, because what you end up with is travel costs for the travel team, the visiting team. And if you are from San Diego and you have to go to Florida to play it in a playoff game, and then you have to travel up to the Pacific Northwest, cost becomes a prohibiting factor. So what ends up happening is it's not always the two best teams that end up in the national championship game in terms of athletic ability. It's typically the teams who can withstand the financial burden of having to travel around the country to play. So with that system just not being there, unless there are major, major national sponsors to cover travel costs, you have to find another way to rank these teams and get the number one and number two on the same field together. The playoffs are just not going to work at the minor league level. There have been leagues who have tried that in the past, but what you find is that as the cost of travel goes up, you know, you end up in Pensacola, Florida, or Atlanta, Georgia, with a diminished roster because you just can't afford to travel all of your guys.
Right. That's definitely the argument that we stand upon, those who are involved in women's football, is, you know, hey, we just got to deal with what we have regionally first and then expand from there. I know that in the WFA, you know, WFA has taken the fees to be in the league and giving that back, dispersing that back out to the teams that do make the playoffs. So there is some recourse or some kind of compensation for making it to the playoffs instead of being bone dry. And like you said, if we go from Vegas to Florida to play a game, that's $20,000 for a flight. And then if we have to go to the Northwest, like you said, that's another $15,000. So there's not many teams that's sitting on $45,000, $60,000 just in the kitty, you know, at this point. And we don't have a fan base to cover that cost either. And that's what a lot of these folks that are anti-playoff system or find a better way instead of doing it regionally, they don't understand that part. So, you know, I'm glad you were able to touch upon that, because I know that's what the men are having some issues with and things to do. But you also are in charge of All-Star games. You know, how do All-Star games, how do you promote them and cover them, you know, both as the minor league news?
Well, in the past, we put together something called the Minor League Football All-Stars. And the concept was, and has always been, to take the best across the country as All-Americans and then put them up against other standing teams or other league All-Star teams, or as we've done in Mesquite, Nevada this past December, we took the minor league football all-stars and we pitted them against Team Canada. It's a men's team from the Northern Ontario region of Canada. The selection process is that every minor league team across the country is allowed to nominate athletes at certain positions along with their statistics. They fill out a nomination form for All-America status, and then we forward those forms onto a national selection committee. And they look at the stats and they look at the contributions, not just to the team, but to their communities as well. And we name minor league football all-star status to these gentlemen. We invite those all-stars, those All-Americans, to participate with the minor league football all-star team against these various opponents from across the country. We've been doing that since 1983, and we've had teams play in Cleveland, Ohio, at Fawcett State, or up at Canton, Ohio, at Fawcett Stadium, Miami. We've been to Hawaii 8 to 10 times. It's been a great time with that organization.
Wow, that's some great news, Coach. Again, you are in Four Quarters with Coach Lee. I got special guests this afternoon, or this evening, or this night, or this morning, wherever you lie, with Rudy Weiland. He is the executive director and head coach of Team USA and publisher of the Minor League Football News. It's kind of funny that we kind of lead into all these great questions, because now I'm going to tap into Team USA football. You know, you are the director and head coach of that. You know, what is Team USA football?
It's really an international travel team of all of these athletes from across the country. It's not the U.S. national team. The U.S. national team plays once every 4 years in the World Cup of American Football. The team is made up of athletes who simply exhausted their collegiate eligibility. They're still looking for a place to play competitively, and we give them a chance to go play, on an international level.
Okay. And how long has this been in existence?
The team was actually founded back in, it depends on your history, 2001, 2002, during those winter months.
Okay. And what is the main mission for Team USA? I mean, why does it exist? Why are they playing overseas?
The mission is really twofold. First, we want to promote and support the growth of our sport, American football, internationally. We support that, promote it by playing in competitive tournaments, exhibition games, friendship games, charity bowl events in host countries all over the world, and here in the United States by hosting international clubs or national teams here in the U.S. Secondly, we intend to provide continuing athletic opportunities for those who have completed their college eligibility, and allow them to have some cultural exchange with host countries.
Okay, definitely. We got to get out there and promote American football, because when you say football, everybody's thinking of what? Soccer, because that's the worldly sport. But American football is definitely catching on very quickly and probably the fastest growing popular sport out around the world at this time.
You know, the very first experience I ever had with American football was with a travel team going over to Stuttgart, Germany, just after 9/11 occurred. Mm-hmm. And we were in Stuttgart, Germany. It was a center of NATO and a lot of American military bases. And this team played a great team called the Stuttgart Scorpions of the German Football League. And, we believed that it was America's sport. We've been playing it for a long, long time. I knew personally nothing of the sport over there in Europe, but there was something like 24,000 to 28,000 people watching a football game, including about 10,000 American military personnel. Great event! I felt like I was in a college event all over again.
Wow!
It's loud. It's crazy. The fans, they cheer their home team. They cheer the visiting team. It was just a great, great experience. We unfortunately lost that football game by a really horrible score, and I just believed at that point that I had to get involved. You know, I need to continue my involvement in this thing, and that event really spurred me on.
To really get the Team USA Eagles going, right?
Yeah, it did. You know, the organization that was doing it in the past, you know, they were really running out of steam, and I felt like I had to pick things up a little bit, get guys involved who had a real passion for the game, and heck, we've been really successful with it. We've had a great time traveling this many countries over this many years.
Wow. Speaking of that, you know, who are some of your staff members or board members that are helping you carry this load here?
Well, one of the key members of our organization is a gentleman by the name of Heinz Puschendorf. You met him, Coach, at the Casino Bowl.
Right. I remember Heinz. Yes.
Yeah, he's the assistant head coach, and he's the defensive coordinator for the team, and you know, he's just been incremental for the organization. The rest of the board members come from. You know, the minor league football and adult amateur football community. A lot of guys have NFL experience. A lot of them are businessmen, lawyers, doctors, that sort of thing. So we try to get a broad base of people involved with the organization.
Okay, that's good. You know, we talked about the different countries you guys played against: Great Britain, Australia, France, Germany, Norway, Mexico, and that's some good international ball. And like you said, you know, you didn't know that American football was so good or so great overseas, because you thought it was bred and raised here in America, that, you know, we step out on the field and it's automatically a gold medal, like the dream team type of situation.
Right.
Yeah, definitely that. So, you know, through your travels, you know, what is your overall record? I mean, how many games have you guys actually played?
We've been in 24 football games. We stand at 16-8. One of the we have two real challenges as an organization. First of all, we try to keep our costs down so that athletes can afford to go and participate in these games. It's tough to get a roster of 40 guys over there. We usually end up with about 35 guys when we travel. The other challenge that we have is taking a team of all-stars who don't form a football team together. Consistently, and play a team who has been together for maybe 3 or 4 years and who's in the middle of their season. That's been a real challenge. So we feel pretty good at 16-8. We could have done better in some games, but we all love to win. We all hate to lose, but at the end of the day, we're trying to go over there to play games. We feel like going over there to playing the game is actually the success measure rather than being 16-8.
Yes, definitely. Now, I mean, you hit on a couple points that I was going to ask you about as far as your roster is concerned. You're talking about you guys carry about 35. And I guess one of the questions that my listeners probably want to listen to is that, do they actually get paid to play or they volunteer? I mean, you touched on it a little bit, but can you go over that selection process for that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we want college athletes. We want guys who play football in college. So we take a look at the background of the athlete, who they are, where they come from. There's an application process that they go through. There has to be some nomination from somebody connected with the team or connected with our Hall of Fame. We screen the guys, make sure that they're good citizens first, that they're good athletes. Can you get a passport? Are you willing to sign our player code of conduct and act accordingly when we get over there? We are looking for great athletes, but also of great importance is that you have to be a representative ambassador of our sport, of our country, and your community, the community that you come from. Fortunately, we've never had a single incident where somebody's gotten themselves into trouble or caused any kind of embarrassing incident over there in Europe or Mexico. So every one of those items is very, very critical to us. We don't have tryouts or camps. The first time we all meet as a team is when we get off the plane over there in Europe or in Mexico.
Okay. Yeah, well, definitely, you know, you got to have character to be a part of this, and you got to have pride and American pride to be a part of it. And like you said, you know, you got to be able to have that passport. You know, you can't be owing child support or anything like that, or you won't be able to leave the country to go play ball. So I understand. Totally, I understand. You know, again, this is some great knowledge here. I know my listeners are really tuning in to what's going on and what's being said. You know, but I have a question for you from one of my emails. They said, how much of a problem is a language barrier being that you're going overseas to play ball?
Coach, we have found that that the Europeans in particular, they are highly educated. English over there is not just a second language. They speak English just as well as they speak their native language in most cases. So
we're never lacking.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we're the ones lacking. We don't speak German or Italian or Norwegian. Now in places like the Czech Republic, you know, we were there in 2005, and in Czech Republic they were just getting out of the shadow of the Iron Curtain and the Berlin Wall. So there was still some catch up to do. So they were struggling with English, but you know, I have a lot of respect for them for the distance they covered in just a few short years. Language has never been an issue over there. So we've been very, very fortunate with that. Even in Mexico, you know, most of the people that we've dealt with down in Mexico spoke English very, very well.
Okay.
They certainly speak English better than I speak Czech, French, Italian, Mexican, Spanish. I just don't speak those languages. So we've been very, very fortunate with that.
No, that's good because, again, you got to be able to communicate. Now, when your players go over there, are they accommodated with hotels or is it, you know, when I was a younger kid, we used to do traveling, especially football, and we'd go to another city or another state, and each player would stay with a parent or a family, not of choice, but we would be adopted per se. Is that the same type of mentality that when you go overseas or is it hotel?
It's typically hotels. When we go to southern Germany, we typically stay on one of the U.S. military facilities, and they graciously provided that free of charge along with meals. When we stay in places where there's not a U.S. military facility, we'll stay at youth hostels or at dormitory facilities on campuses. You know, sometimes we'll stay at 3 or 4 star hotels, which is not the same 3 or 4 star rating as we have in the United States. The hotel facilities are a little lesser standard than we have here at home in the U.S. And typically, you know, the host team will either provide those things for us free of charge to us, or they'll keep it down to a very, very reduced rate to make it affordable for the team.
Okay, all right. Well, you know what? I think my audience is getting the flavor of what Team USA football is all about, the Eagles, and I think we answered some great questions here. And what are some of the events coming up for Team USA? What you guys have on the burner?
In 2009, 4th of July 2009, the team is going to be on the French Riviera playing the Dolphins of Nice. It's their 10th anniversary of playing American football in southern France, and we're going to go help them celebrate that in a friendship game. August 22nd, we're going to be in Washington, D.C. to host Team Canada. We are working on a Division III bowl game for Mexico in November or December. And then December the 5th, in connection with the Minor League Football Hall of Fame and Awards Banquet held in Las Vegas, we're going to be hosting a European team. That's going to be the U.S. Federation of American Football Invitational Cup again.
Okay. That sounds like it's gonna be a great cause, and of course it's in Vegas, so it's nothing like Viva Las Vegas. Sorry about my vocals, but you know sometimes I have to sing some things on here. You know that's just how I do it here. Four quarters with Coach Lee. Definitely that. Okay, let me see if there's any callers out there. BJ, you have Coach? Put them on. Coach Barley, is that you? Uh-oh, I got some dead air. Am I still online?
I'm still
right
here.
Okay. Coach Barley, you there? I had Coach Barley online, but I don't know if he's in. He's from the California Lynx. All right, Coach. Never heard you so, quite so quiet there, man. If you're on the line, speak up. Say something. All right. Well, you know what? We'll just mute him since he wants to stay muted. So it's all good. You know, I'm glad to have you on board, and it's a special occasion for me as well, having Rudy Weiland on the Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Coach, can you make an announcement out there about some plans that are in the mix right now?
Absolutely, I'm really happy to do this. Let me give you and your listeners some background on this thing real quickly.
Okay.
In 2007, our team was in Vienna, Austria. We were preparing to play the number one team in Europe, the Vienna Vikings, and across the field, we noticed three practice sessions going on. One of them was a youth team. This is their age 14 and under football team, and the parents were involved. They were having a great time over there. The other team that was practicing was their youth team under 19, so from age 15 to 19. They had great participation over there as well. On yet a third practice field was a team called the Lady Vikings. The Vienna Vikings, greatest football team in Europe right now, the Vienna Vikings have a women's football team over there as well. And Heinz Puschendorf and I began talking about this and thought, first of all, we were moved just to even see that going on over there. When I visited your scrimmage game in connection with the Casino Bowl, I watched your Showgirls play a game against or a scrimmage against a team from Utah, and it just dawned on me that we need to find a way to get a women's tackle football team over to places like Vienna to help grow the women's side of this sport as well. So Coach, you and I have talked about this for some period of time, and I think we've come to a great agreement on how to get the Team USA Women's Eagles football team over to Europe in conjunction with Team USA going over there and playing a women's international game and a men's international game with our hosts.
Right, and, like a doubleheader.
Just like a doubleheader. I think it's a natural brother sister type of a fit. I got to tell you, when we watched your Showgirls out there at the Casino Bowl this past March, I saw something that was a great, not just a great product in terms of your football team, but the individual ladies that were involved in this thing collectively are just great ambassadors of the game, and I really believe that they can help grow the sport of women's tackle football over there in Europe. And I can't think of a better individual to be involved with the women's side than you as the director and head coach of that organization.
And you know, I love to do that because that's my mission here, is to promote women's football across the nation. And if we can do this worldwide, I'm all in it. You know, I think this is going to be a big step for women's football, not only here in Vegas, not only here in the United States, but worldwide, and get that attention that we as women football owners, coaches, and players deserve. So I am definitely open arms to this thing, and we'll be putting 100% behind this and recruiting the best players in the nation here to represent Team USA to go overseas. Like I said, I have no biases against any team, any league. We just want the best, and we want to represent the best and go across the country and do what we do, and that's, you know, promote football.
Coach, some of the best experiences that I've had over there in Europe personally have been, first of all, bringing your football team together in a place like Vienna or Frankfurt or France or London, and you bring all these individuals together from all four corners of our great country. You form a football team in just a few days, 4 or 5 days, and you're going to face some adversity over there trying to put this team together, prepare them to play a very, very good opponent. And then you stand on the other side of that football field while they play two national anthems, one for you United States, and one for the host team. You kick that off, and you play the game, win, lose, or draw. At the end of the game, you're going to sit around with your team, and you're going to look at this team, and you can say, these people came from all over the country, and they're here with us right now, sitting in this restaurant, enjoying the after-game dinner, or in the locker room, and you look around the faces, and you think, wow, what a great thing we have just done. And I hear constantly from the men's side, that 1 week of bonding actually is really something. These people go home to their home football teams at their homes, and they formed a family in just 4 or 5 or 6 days and one football game, and the bonds of that really never, ever break. It is very much like the dream team. You look at the NBA and the guys who played on those dream teams, though they go back to the Lakers and the Bullets and the Pistons, those guys all have a bond that you really can't take away. It is an unspoken bond between those athletes. And the host team, always appreciative. They always feel like they've gained something out of it, whether it's a greater level of competition or a greater look at how American football teams do things. They're always appreciative, and we find invitations to come back constantly.
Well, I'm definitely happy to be a part of, and we'll be getting more information out there, but our plans, again, is to be out in 2010 and represent America well as a women's football team here. Before we wrap this up, how can one get a hold to you or in touch with you, either at the Minor League Football News or with Team USA?
You can find us online at minorleaguefootballnews.com. The email address there is online. You can see it there, but it's admin@minorleaguefootballnews.com. For Team USA, you can get hold of us you can see our website at teamusafootball.org. You can get us on by email at admin@teamusafootball.org. Or if your readers, your listeners want to contact me personally, they can telephone me at area code 202-741-9416. That's a Washington, D.C. telephone number, but it rings here at my desk in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, where we're working here with the American Embassy.
Okay, that's definitely – we got all that information. We definitely will be posting it up. We would definitely get the word out. We'll be putting together some press releases. And, again, tying that bond together, that brother-sister team overseas, those brother and sister teams here in the States, be it minor league men's football teams. We're just going to make this a great push and a great movement to help football. And that's what the whole cause is all about. It's about helping the movement of football. It's about putting it on the next level. And that's something that I'm promoting, and a lot of other coaches are promoting, taking it to the next level. And, Coach, I really thank you very much for coming onto the show. I know it's like 4:30 in the morning your time, but you know what? I feel very important for someone to be 15 hours ahead and be on time on their phone calls. Man, that's wonderful. I love it. I love it.
Coach, it's a real pleasure being with you. Thanks for having me on, and good luck with the Showgirls and your league. We'll be watching it from Minor League Football News, and hopefully the team owners and the head coaches will continue to send us press and results of their games. Best of luck to all of you.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, Coach. That was Rudy Weiland from Team USA Football and publisher Minor League Football News. Hey. Like I said, you guys, we got some movement going. We got some shaking and baking. We're doing our thing here, Four Quarters with Coach Lee. We're trying to make this move. I ain't going to say we're trying. It's like Yoda from Five Heartbeats. I'm about to get my movies mixed up. But from Star Wars, either you do or you don't. And that's what I'm all about. Either I'm not going to do it or I'm going to do it. And as you can see, folks, people worldwide are recognizing that women play football here, not only in the United States, but now it's going to be worldwide. So the reality is, get ready, get suited and booted. We're going to look to try to get the best players on the first team to go across overseas and represent USA. And like I said, we are going to get this done, period. We're going to put women's football on the map, not the United States map, but the world map. And, again, there's a lot of networking going on, a lot of stuff going on at the kneeing boards, and that's why I tell you guys all the time on my show, you never know who's in the stands watching you. I did not know that the CEO slash president of USA Football, who was getting recognized as Man of the Year, was in the stands watching our product. We impressed him so much that we wind up talking throughout the whole Casino Bowl after our scrimmage. We turned our head a couple of times to see coming some of the big plays, but, you know, we were so in tune on what we need to do and what we need to focus in on as football coaches and as ambassadors of football, of American-style football, that we've been talking for the last 2.5 months and putting this together. This wasn't nothing done overnight. This is something that we've been communicating through emails and through phone calls and to the point that we really felt we have a method, we have a product, and we have the best women athletes out there that are dedicated and want to represent Team USA Eagles. So Lady Eagles, fight on, baby. Lady Eagles, fight on. So, you know, we're coming close and closer to the end of the show. Again, we're at the five-minute mark. I mean, we just hit a couple, and it's not even baseball. We hit a couple of home runs tonight. We got a chance to hear from somebody on the other side of the world talk about some of the same issues that we're talking about here in women's football. We talked about a playoff format, you know, how feasible it was or how feasible it is and how it's been done in the past. Again, there's no need to reinvent the wheel. You go find out what wheel is already woven, if that's a word, I don't even know sometimes, and then you add spokes to it. We are the spokes to that wheel. Women's football don't have to start from scratch, you guys. That's my preaching. You don't have to start from scratch. Everything is already out there. You just got to tie yourself into it. You got to go out and make it happen. You got to go out and represent yourself, your team, your owners, your city, your county, your state, all those things, you guys. You got to do that, you know. And we're taking a step forward to make that happen. So we got a team, USA Lady Eagles, and you are speaking to not only the coach of the Las Vegas Showgirls, but you are listening to the coach and director of USA Women's Football right here, right now, on Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Hey, that's my music. It sounds like we're about to get up out of here, but hey, if anybody have any questions or any concerns, you can always catch me on the Neem board. That's Women's Tackle Football Group.neem.com. Or you can just email me directly at Las Vegas Showgirls at Yahoo.com. I would definitely be getting up some information on what we're going to be doing as far as gathering women and coaching staff for this USA team. And like I said, I'm open to everybody, yo. I am here for women's football. It's not about what team I represent or what league I represent. I represent USA football. I'm here to promote USA football. Are you ready for USA football? So step your game up. Get up here. Promote. Play. Do your thing. And I am out of here because this is your boy, Coach Lee. You're Four Quarters with Coach Lee, and I am out.